When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, what's up? It's me, Dave Stone, former co-host of the Boogie Monster podcast. From 2016 to 2023, myself and my good buddy Kyle Kinane, we'd get together each week, ramble on about ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, other mysteries of the universe. At least that was our initial intentions. But if you've listened before, you know that it usually devolved into disjointed rants about vans and fried chicken. During that time, we also had a Patreon page. We would offer up exclusive bonus episodes to our patrons, usually in the form of Q&A sessions. And even though the Boogie Monster is currently on an indefinite hiatus, we're offering up those old bonus episodes to the general population so that everyone can enjoy our old nonsense. Hopefully, someday soon, we'll dust off our microphones and resurrect the Boogie Monster. But until then, please enjoy this blast from the past from your old pals, Kyle and Dave. Thanks for listening.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. We can finally, once and for all, find out what happened with Judas Priest. Whether they broke up by themselves or they were pushed out by outside forces. Like the government.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
We guys started it.
Oh, you're
not even checking shit. Okay. Dude.
You don't want to check it? You don't want to do a sound check?
I mean, talking to the mic. There you go.
Okay.
It looks good.
You ever do that, like when you do sound check? It's funny that someone who makes their living speaking into a microphone, when you say check the levels or do a sound check, I have nothing to say.
Yeah, or oh god, sound check at a comedy show where everybody's like, how about comedy right now? It's like, how about no?
Yeah.
How about just make sure the mic works?
Oh, I think I just had a solution to that, though. I have done this before. Tell a street joke during sound check.
Oh yeah, I mean that's something they can take home with them.
Yeah, yeah. What's going on, bud?
It's the Q&A episode.
Yeah.
And
hey, speaking of street jokes, can I tell you a new one?
I love them.
This is off a Towns Van Zandt album. I got this new live. You know Towns Van Zandt? Singer-songwriter dude.
Yes,
70s
yes.
Kind of
Graham
Parsons style, you know. Anyway, got one of his live albums. And I guess in this album, he tells like five or six street jokes in between songs. But he goes, these two old drunks stand outside a bar staring up at the moon, and they're arguing. One guy thinks it's the moon. One guy thinks it's the sun. Third guy comes staggering out of the bar. They say, hey, buddy, you come help solve a dispute? Is that the moon or the sun? Third guy goes, oh, shit, I don't know, man. I ain't from around here. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that was that comes with a good good, like, old-timer way of saying it.
Hey, okay, one more.
All right, good. Go for it.
Drunk staggering out of bar. He walks up to a cop on the sidewalk holding his key. He goes, hey, officer, you help me? Somebody stole my car. Officer goes, where's the last place you saw it? He goes, oh, it was on the end of this key. They get a little chuckle. And he goes, well, I can't really help you right now, but if you want to go over to the precinct, fill out a report, they'll take care of you and do all the proper paperwork. And goes, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And officer can't help but notice that the guy's fly's down. He goes, so before you go into that precinct, though, you might want to zip your fly up. And he looks down. He goes, oh, shit, they stole my gal, too.
Oh. A little bit dirty, but just yeah. Clean enough.
Yeah.
Kids aren't going to understand. You can say that when it thinks.
Yep. There you go. You can use those in your skits.
Take those to work with you.
Oh, boy. What's going down?
Oh,
it's bonus time.
It's bonus time. I had a big Chipotle and I rode my bike up the hill.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And that's why I was sweating and shirtless when you got here.
Did you ride to Chipotle?
That's how I rode home. Uh-huh. How the fuck do you think that works?
What do you mean?
Are you being serious?
Yeah, I'm saying, did you ride your bike to Chipotle?
Yeah, why would I ride my bike home from Chipotle if I didn't ride my bike there?
What I was asking is, you didn't make it clear that you rode it there. You just said, I had Chipotle and I rode my bike up a hill. I thought maybe those are two separate things.
I thought you meant I rode, I rode home from Chipotle.
Yeah.
I didn't get angry, but I was like, what the dumb shit kind of question is that?
What I'm saying is that sounds like a rough ride, a post-Chipotle ride.
Well, we got
ride.
Stuff to do today, so I housed this burrito.
Okay.
I ate it fast, too. I shouldn't have done that. Ooh. I ate it fast.
Fast burrito.
Fast Chipotle.
You're just asking for trouble. What's your go-to Chipotle? What do you get there?
I just get the Sofritas.
Yeah, but like in what form? The bowl?
Burrito, brown rice. Yeah. Beans can go either way. Depends on the mood.
Yeah.
I like to have them throw the fajita vegetables in there.
Mm-hmm.
And do corn.
Yeah, I like the corn sauce.
Corn cheese, mm-hmm. hot sauce, and lettuce.
Okay. I do carnitas in a bowl, no beans, no lettuce, everything else.
All the giddy-ups?
Mm-hmm. All the sauces.
For Tabasco being shit, that Chipotle Tabasco's real good.
I fucking hate Tabasco, but I love Chipotle Tabasco.
I know, man.
It's good stuff, man. That the green isn't bad either.
Yeah, just that regular vinegar.
Jalapeno.
Vinegar stuff.
Yeah, that red shit's gross.
I got lucky. There was a line. They're like, oh, we're all out of meat. And you see everybody disappointed. Like, anybody getting veggie? I'm like, you betcha. Me and some little squirrely dude and got to skip the line. Well, man.
Let's get into it, man.
Ash Sands. So what's your favorite weed strains?
Hmm.
I don't know, man. I just like having it.
As long as I've been smoking weed, I still don't pay too much attention. What I pay attention to now is indica or sativa, but
I'm finally noticing the difference between those two.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about the strains.
Yeah.
I had something called Nightmare Cookies. I forget where I got it from, and it had some CBD mm-hmm. mixed in with it.
Okay.
Also, I've learned you could just have one hit.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to get
smoke the whole bowl.
Clinically high every time.
Yeah, Sean Pat was over here. We had a Panama Red. He's like, it's just for chit-chat. I'm like, we'll see. And then we talked. I don't think I was funny at all, but I talked my ass off.
I do. I need to start paying attention because there are some that do make me chit-chat.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like just getting high. And
Try some Panama Red because that's what old Sean Patton brought over.
I feel sorry for those around me when I start. I get a certain level of high where I physically can't shut up. Like, I'm apologizing while I'm talking. Like, I know I'm getting on your nerves, but here's another thought in my head.
I'm going to tell you everything.
I'm going to tell you all kind of things.
I'm going to give you the inventory of what's in the attic. Yeah, I don't know, Ash. I don't know. I try to get real.
I don't know, Ash.
But Friday night, my plan is, I'm going to get real high.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to watch scary movies. I got real high. I made it through 15 minutes of a True Detective episode. I was passed out. I got so high, I couldn't even get scared. I was too tired.
Okay, what do we got here? There you go, Ash. I don't know. I like sativa, but I'll pay attention to the strains. I'll just smoke whatever y'all got.
Smoke what you got. All right.
Jake Michael asks, using the idea that ghosts are the souls of people who died that can't move on due to some sort of unfinished business, mm-hmm. if you guys died right now, what, if anything, would be your unfinished business tying you to the physical world? That's a good question, Jake. Do you have any unfinished business?
I think your life should be unfinished business.
Mm-hmm. I don't have any regrets or anything. Like, if I died today.
No, I'm trying to do more stuff physically,
mm-hmm.
knowing that I'm getting older. Like, I'm trying to go camping. No huge fear. I'm not trying to climb Everest or anything, but I'm just trying to not look back at, like, I look at my 20s. I'm like, man, I didn't do shit in my 20s. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was getting into comedy and all that, mm-hmm. but I was just drinking and fucking off and thinking I was going to live forever. Because that's what you do in your 20s. And that phrase, youth is wasted on the young, is incredibly poignant statement.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, when I was able to do stuff, I was in my worst shape.
Hmm.
And so at least when I got a mountain bike when I was 30. I'm 42 now. So I'm not good at it, but I'm doing that stuff and I have fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to camp, but I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some of that, some of the traveling stuff, but I'm doing it. I'm doing it when the time and the money allows it.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I don't think.
I mean, I've got things I still want to do and accomplish, but I don't think they would, you know, affect me in the afterlife.
Like, yeah, I'm not going to come back as a ghost and be like, let's go camping.
Yeah. Like, I want to own a record store one day. I still kind of want to own a food truck one day, but, like, I don't think I'm going to be a ghost, you know, haunting amoeba because I never got to fulfill my dream of owning a record store.
I always think of it like, oh, I have a kid out there that I never met, or I didn't express my feelings to my family. I think I express my feelings to my family too much. I think we're all talking to each other too much. Let's keep a few secrets, gang. So I think that's a successful way to live.
Mm-hmm.
Not full, like, no regrets, I stand by. Yeah, I have regrets. I've said some dumb shit. I've done some dumb shit. I've hurt people. But I don't know. So far, so good, I feel about.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I've tried to live my life. Like, you know, I always think about when I'm on my deathbed, am I going to, is there anything left undone? Like, I've done so much already. Like, there's nothing like, oh, I wish I would have stayed in school, or I wish I would have pursued this career. Like, I've kind of.
But, I mean, but, like, also, I include yourself in being emotionally available for a relationship, a relationship that you care about, relationship with your family and friends, you know, making yourself open and available for that. And I feel like I've done all right so far in that. I don't know. Good question, though.
Yeah.
Good question, Jake.
Speaking of emotionally available.
Speaking of emotional witches.
This may help others. Katie brought up the fact the other day, not in like a negative way, but she's like, you know, one thing I wish you would do that you never do that I think would be a sweet gesture. And I was like, good Lord, this could be anything. And she says, I don't write enough notes. She would like it if I left more notes just around the house. Like, you know, for when she gets home, you know, hey, honey, hope you had a good day. I'll see you tonight. You know, just a little. I never think to do that. I never think to communicate via note.
I leave silly messages on the whiteboard calendar we got. That's so once in a while.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to. I'm going to try to start doing that. Speaking of emotional availability,
the text message.
Yeah, but like, I think the point is like the effort of, you know, the old school leaving a little note behind.
All right. Well, yeah. Good luck.
If that's the only thing I'm lacking, I'm doing pretty good.
You're not leaving enough evidence around here.
Oh, man. Dave fed a place. Dave, did you get a chance to try the cookies, jam, and venison jerky I gave you in Davison, Michigan? What was your honest opinion? They fucking sucked.
Oh, no.
No, I'm kidding, Dave. I do remember. I remember Dave. I remember that wonderful Davison, Michigan show. And, yes, I do remember this. I ate them all. I
like the way it's phrased is that it's all jerky. Cookies jerky, jam jerky, and venison jerky.
Yeah, cookies, jam, and venison
jerky. These are just dried Chips Ahoy. No, it's cookie jerky.
They were excellent, Dave. I appreciate that. I eat about everything, no shit, that people bring me. So it is not unappreciated, and it does not go wasted. So, but yeah, man, I'm a big fan of any type of homemade jam and shit like that. Even though I told you a while back I was kind of getting over jerky, I don't mind the good, you know, homemade jerky, some venison jerky or some weird jerky that somebody brings to a show. I'll eat that shit. But, yeah, solid stuff, Dave. No real notes. All I remember is I ate them and I enjoyed them. So thank you. Good work.
Kind gifts. I don't think you want to answer that one yet. Maybe I'm ready to answer that one. Jacob Rivas. Hey, guys. I've been watching a shit ton of pseudo-documentaries that are filmed from the perspective of it being a true story. Examples, Lost Tapes, Monster Quest. Do you think there's a conspiracy to put out these real, fakey-looking documentaries to distract from the reality that cryptids are out there? Disinformation. And also, has anyone really sat down and thought we're just okay with eating peeps in front of ducks? That's horrifying. Eating peeps in front of ducks? Why are you eating peeps in front of ducks? Why are you eating that? Why are you eating anything in front of ducks?
Going down to the lake and having some shitty candy?
Yeah, man. You eat eggs in front of chickens.
I would do that. I, you know, chickens don't know.
Then why would ducks know what peeps are?
They wouldn't know either.
Let's not distract from the real question, though, about is it disinformation? Is the market flooded with dingbats to dissuade? I believe that is a technique that's been employed here and there. Yeah.
I don't agree with putting Monster Quest in that category. I think Monster Quest is fine programming. I enjoy
fine legit
this.
Programming?
I mean, I will say this about Monster Quest. Like, they did about 6 or 7 seasons. They probably should have done about 3, because after about 3 seasons, they started running out of monsters. Just started making shit up.
Oh, you mean like our show?
Like, really ugly dogs. Oh, okay. Wow. They just started kind of making up monsters.
Well, I think that... I think that it's less that they're... the conspiracy is to put it out, but I think the fact that there's more... It's out there because there's an appetite for it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I bet the people that are really involved are like, oh, thank God. Yeah, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go chase the Loch Ness Monster over there. Well, over here we got underground cloning labs for the government. I think it could all be tied in together.
Yeah, I definitely believe in the disinformation technique. I mean, some of these documentaries do suck, though. Like,
mm-hmm.
Did we get into? Should I save this for a regular episode or talk about Hellier?
We'll talk about it. But somebody else was like, I started watching it. Maybe I'll watch it too, so we can both throw down on it.
Just a whole bunch of nothing.
None of it. Like it. But that's been my what ups everything we see for this show. Is not real.
What do you mean?
I've never seen anything real. It's always blurry fucking photos and everything. All the technology and then all the evidence is skeptical, suspect at best.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the Navy going, here's video from our Navy fighters looking at UFOs.
Yeah.
That's the shit where I was like, that's the military. That's what everybody has a heart on about.
Yeah.
And that's the one I get hung up on. But all this other stuff, like, look over there, isn't it? No, it's not.
There's some stuff out there.
Well, it hasn't been captured with any modern technology.
I'm saying there's some decent evidence.
We can get pictures of fucking Pluto. We can take pictures of fucking planets that are light years away. Bigfoot. Ah, look at, this might be his finger turning off the trail cam. Come on.
Might be. I'm telling you, dude, you look at that Patterson-Gimlin film, and there's some souped-up versions of it where it's been stabilized. That's the most breathtaking piece of video I've ever seen, because I truly don't think that's a dude Acosta. And when you see it, like the original, it's...
Didn't they admit they faked it?
No, there's all kind of weird shit, but nobody who really was involved never admitted to faking it. And they've done analysis on it, and there's just no way. There's no way it could be a dude in a suit. And when you watch that thing, when you watch a good version of that, just seeing that fucking giant thing just striding around, oh, that's some pretty good evidence. I love it. Won't get into, that whole case again, even though there is a hernia in her right quadricep that moves up and down. That would be ridiculous to try to fake that. But anyway, Eric Payne asked, if the portals that Ryan Singer referred to could be traversed both ways, what would you hope to find on the other side? That's
right quadricep.
That really is. Oh, you got a problem with the right quadricep? She's got a hernia.
Like, instead of just being like, oh, this costume isn't great.
Nah, it's a hernia in her right quadricep. And the proportions. All right, let's get into it. The proportions are all different. Like, obviously, it's a giant beast, but, like, I don't know the exact percentages, but, like, the human body, regardless of how tall you are, your knee to your ankle is blank percent of your overall height. Your knee to your hip bone is blank percent of your overall height. Those, the percentages on that creature do not equate to that of a human. The way that the ankle and the foot is the bottom of the foot, the heels hitting the ground, the way the ankle is positioned, there's a lot of cool stuff. This is all I have, Kyle.
All right,
take away Bigfoot.
All right, okay, I'll let you have it. Sorry, I stepped on the other question.
Portals. Eric Payne asked about the portals that Ryan was talking about. If you could traverse them both ways, what would you hope to find on the other side? Man, when he started talking about those portals, dude, like the concept of a portal, I don't know if I believe in a portal, but holy shit. Could you? Well, Ryan said that one of the dudes from that agency we can't speak of went into the portal, spent like 15 minutes. That's what he said. This seemingly normal, intelligent dude who works for an agency, a government agent. Well, maybe I shouldn't say government, but anyway, this dude who Ryan hung out with all week says that he himself spent 15 minutes in a portal in that on that property. So that's when you're like, are you serious? Are you lying? Are you crazy? Or
how can you even put a timestamp on going through a portal?
It's a good question. Maybe he, you know, maybe he knew the outside time when he went in and the outside time when he went out, when he left. But yeah, I don't know how any of that works. But could you imagine walking into a portal?
What would I hope to find on a world better than this one?
Yeah.
Because maybe that's why nobody's coming out of it to come here, save for a few, maybe Bigfoot, maybe that. But otherwise, everybody seems to be content staying over on that side.
Yeah. We got to dig deeper into that soon.
That portal thing, yeah. That's a whole episode. Because is it that whole like rift in the space-time continuum to talk about? Because that gets into physics and science, and that is way past how I can even comprehend like quantum theory and all that. Like that's now you're getting into mathematics, and once that happens, I could use my imagination to think about why Bigfoot might exist. But once it's like math, nothing.
Man, you know what I'd like to find when I go into that portal, other than a Bojangles. Wouldn't it be like, all right, Bigfoot, aliens, creatures, that's one thing. But like, what if you went into a portal and you just saw a bunch of regular dudes? Just guys that look like
Bojangles.
Us. You know?
It's a portal, you just come out fatter 15 minutes later.
But seriously, think about you're in some portal and then you're in a new dimension or a new universe or whatever. And then there's just a bunch of folks.
Maybe it's a glitch in this whole simulation we're living in.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a glitch that the layers of the world, this simulation is layered on top of another simulation, and that's like a whoops.
Yeah.
And you slipped into that one.
And be like, oh, shit. Like, I don't know. It's like when you move to a different state when you're in elementary school. It's like, oh, this is so different, but it's kind of the same. What do you guys do around here?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, what did they tweak in that simulation? The Simpsons covered that one where he keeps going back and fucks with something in the past that it's raining donuts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what are they doing in the simulation that's through the portal? That would make more. That is how I could wrap my head around it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it's a little blip between the simulations.
That would be neat. Jeremy Proctor asks, what's the worst joke you've ever used that looking back, you're disappointed it worked? It's a great question.
My whole career.
Oh, man.
Everybody has hack jokes when you start.
Yeah. I'm more the opposite in that I have so many jokes that I like that have never worked, and I'm always been confused. Like, why didn't that work? But, I don't know. I'm trying to think if anything. I mean, that's the one thing I knew going in, like I was a fan of comedy and I studied comedy, and not that I had expert taste, but I knew what hack was like from day one. So I did try. I gave myself some rules when I first started, like no racial jokes, no sexual jokes, no political jokes, stuff that just and like putting those boundaries on myself forced me to at least be somewhat creative and original rather than just going up there and talking about my girlfriend. You know, because I remember when I first started, it was like five or six topics that just seemed like everybody was doing. It's like,
oh, yeah. It's like now, like, oh, so who's online dating?
Yeah.
Fucking everybody, because who's breathing air?
Yeah. Like, why do I think I have an original take on something that's been talked about ad nauseam?
And now I'm at the point when I watch comedy, I'm like, I'll listen to your unoriginal premise if the punchline or where you're going with it is something unique. Because, all right, that's part of your life. And you are talking about your life if you're on Tinder.
Yeah.
All right, what's your angle on it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that it's weird or something? All right, fucking
yeah,
whatever. Or I'll laugh at it, but be like, I know it's not. You're not breaking any molds. Same way I like shitty pop music. I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah, this isn't a good song, but I'm enjoying it for what it's worth.
Yeah.
I did not sexual stuff. I just had stupid.
Yeah.
It's about like, if I, like, I would say I had crabs and to take care of them, I would just sit with my pants off and watch Red Lobster commercials and say, see what we do to your cousins. And then I said, if I really didn't think they were getting the point, I would slather my balls in melted butter.
That's pretty funny.
Stupid. What favorite opener is, come on, ladies, his dick isn't going to laugh at itself. I always try and do the worst thing to open the show and be like, all right, okay, well, no, that's out of the way.
I used to have some stupid joke about how I don't go to the strip club. I'm not a strip club guy. Because mm-hmm. A few times I have made it rain, people get hurt because I use nickels. All right, good one, Dave.
Yeah, there was like some pretty bad, just over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Misogyny.
Yeah.
But like joke massage, like, well, of course, joke massage, but like, like, you're not supposed to throw your trash out at the movie theater. I'm like, that's why I go to the movies. I'm like, that's like getting a hooker and not peeing on her when you're done. That's just horrible. I've never gotten a hooker, let alone had the desire to pee on someone.
Yeah.
And I would say that because I was like, oh, here's a good shitty shock joke. Because that's when you had 5 minutes in front of dumb bar crowds.
Yeah.
So that's why I have to like be not so critical of new comics when I see them doing something. Like, hey, you got to make your mistakes.
Yeah.
Think you're not going to get this overnight. You're going to make some mistakes for a few years.
Oh, yeah, for a while. What else we got?
Tom Clark. Do you guys know of any good cover artists? I love original music, but sometimes a good cover can kick ass. Need some more ammo for my Cover Me in Covers playlist. I don't know about the whole artist that just does covers.
Are there any notable?
I would say Me First and the Gimme Gimmes.
They do covers?
They're only a cover.
Oh,
band.
Really?
They're all, it's like Fat Mike from NoFX and these dudes from these other
bands. Yeah, I've heard the band name. I didn't know they were all covers.
They do good cover. The guy can sing.
Well, I mean, that answered my question. Is there any notable band that is a cover band? Like,
no, they're called cover bands.
Yeah.
And they just play fucking
play at bars.
Summerfests. Yeah. Yeah.
That's weird that well, I guess, you know, since they were kind of a super
Me First, it's a punk band. It's like if a ska, it's like a novelty cover band.
Yeah.
So I'd say them. Otherwise, I don't know, man. I go on Spotify all the time. I always look for good reggae covers.
Reggae
of
covers.
Popular songs.
Huh.
But I like that feeling of being at a shitty beach resort.
Willie Nelson did an entire reggae album about 15 years ago. It was all right. It's kind of weird.
Smoking Pope's covered Angels Flying Too Close to the Ground.
Really?
Magnificently.
Okay. It's a good one.
Avail does a pretty good cover of Pink Houses.
Who?
By Mellencamp. Avail.
Oh, okay.
Old band from Richmond, Virginia.
John Mellencamp and Trip.
What were the good band names? They weren't cover bands, but like John Cougar Concentration Camp.
Yeah.
And what was the other one that got? REO Speed Dealer. They had to change their name.
That's funny.
I don't know if John Cougar Concentration Camp got in trouble. Kyle Jimmy Johnson, I have a hernia right now, just like Bigfoot. Do you guys know you guys went through it as well? How long do you guys wait to get the surgery? you had a hernia?
I did. Applebee's paid for mine.
Oh, yeah?
I hurt myself.
Were you lifting Moz sticks?
I was lifting 50-pound bags of potatoes, and I was trying to do two or three at a time to show off. And I pulled my nut. Got a nut hernia.
Yep.
And
that's where I got mine.
Dealt with it for about 3 or 4 weeks, and finally I couldn't handle it anymore.
Yeah, I just thought my scrotum would get smaller, and it didn't, and that was under my insurance. And I just had to tell my mom, like, I got to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Like,
put
why?
The mesh
I'm like,
in
don't
you?
Worry about it. Yeah, get the mesh.
We had the exact same surgery.
Do you start seeing like all the like the mesothelioma class actors? Like, if you have herniated mesh,
yeah,
you might be entitled of what? I'm going to go through a bunch of paperwork to get $6 If you're in a class action lawsuit, you're like, fuck yeah, fuck this court. AT&T, kiss my ass, that's right. And you're like, you're entitled to 39 cents. All right.
What's the point? But yeah, that's the one where my dad picked me up from the surgery, and I never my dad never really cussed, and I didn't cuss much around him, but I was all doped up.
Yeah.
And when he picked me up, he goes, all right, you ready to go, buddy? I was like, Dad, my fucking balls hurt. It was just like, well, all right there, buddy, let's get you in the car.
I was like wandering around with my ass out of the gown. Just enjoying the buzz.
Did your, I'm sorry for such a personal question, did your scrotum get about three times its normal size?
It was getting big.
It was like fucking grapefruits. It had giant balls.
I didn't let it go that far, but it was getting bigger than it should have been.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And I could also tell it was something wandering around there.
No, I'm talking about after the surgery. After the surgery, my balls swelled up. Yeah. Because of something to do with...
I remember they're black because it was like the blood from the surgery settled in the bottom. Like, what's this? They're like, it's fine. It's all right. Like, okay. So that was my biggest concern.
Yeah, my balls, no shit. My balls for like a day were the size of baseballs. Like, it was insane.
Did I tell that story?
I don't know. Which one?
Just the whole story about how I knew I had to get them fixed.
No, I don't think so.
I was doing ecstasy.
Uh-huh.
And I let my friend who was sweet on me, fella. Yeah, I told that story, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So once a gay guy told me I had weird balls, I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to go to the doctor.
You know you're supposed to, you know, when you're in the shower every now and then, you're supposed to feel around there and make sure there's no weird bumps.
No problem. who needs this shower? You know how many times I checked for a hernia watching season 3 of True Detective over the last week? Every 5 minutes. Jack Eisenhuth. I'm moving to Chicago to go to school in August. I'm one of the best clubs to watch perform comedy. Maybe something that Kyle went to when he was starting out or anything like that. And one for Dave. It's the best barbecue at North Carolina. It's his home state. He has his favorites, but he'd like to know yours.
North Carolina?
Yep. Not a fan of their sauces, are you?
I don't like the whole... I don't like the East or West Carolina version of barbecue.
Well, I thought there was only a North and South Carolina.
No, so, there's all right. Eastern Carolina, there's Western Carolina, there's Southern Carolina barbecue. But I will say 12 Bones in Asheville is probably your best bet.
God damn, that place was great.
12 Bones is
solid. I
remember
that place.
Midwood,
and I don't remember barbecue, I remember 12 Bones.
Yeah, 12 Bones is solid. Midwood and Charlotte kind of was underwhelming for me.
Those blueberry ribs, glazed ribs.
The gal sent us some of that. Sent me some of that. Yeah, I had it last night, the blueberry sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I cooked. I baked up some chicken and dipped it in there. It's good stuff. But yeah,
because I'm like barbecue's good, but then 12. I remember being back in Asheville and like being with who I'm like, we gotta go to this place.
Yeah,
I don't have a lot of spots like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like the vinegary sauce and whole hog is fine. Whole hog sounds great in theory, but that's usually what they do. But the problem with whole hog barbecue is it dries out. A lot of Carolina barbecue, it's dry, and I can't taste the smoke. And then on top of that, the sauce sucks. So I'm sorry.
Look out, Jack.
Just not my style. But, you know, I went to Rodney Scott's barbecue there in South Carolina. Was it Hemingway, South Carolina? Rodney Scott, you know, he's kind of a celebrity chef now. He's opening up places all over the place. I'm sorry. Just very underwhelmed. I wanted to like it. I drove an hour and a half off route to check it out. But anyway, don't get me started.
Anyway, as far as the question for me, I have no idea anymore. I don't know what's going on. I know people like North Bar. My beloved Lincoln Lodge is still up and running.
North Bar is where I play.
Yeah, you play North Bar. Mm-hmm. Lincoln Lodge, that's been my spot, who I know there. I think Wednesday night at Kohl's still goes on as far as an open mic. But I don't know what's going on there anymore. I don't know who's doing what. I think they might still do Comedians You Should Know at... it's always been on a Wednesday, so I've never made it. But I hear that show's good.
Hmm.
The reason I don't know, there's so much. There's so much comedy that people have told me about. I don't know if it's good or bad, but there's a lot of comedy. So at least you'll be able to have a a large selection to choose from. So good luck, man. Good luck in Chicago. It's a good town in August and September and some October.
All right, here's a ridiculous one from Sam Thomason. Resubmitted because you caught me off guard with this early shit, and goddamn it, this is funny. So you shot down my vampires can't get boners question a few episodes ago. That's fine. How about this? Let's say two vampires are having gay sex. Not that there's anything wrong with that. That's not me saying that. That's Sam. Can a man?
Do you think there is something wrong with it?
Can a man? Gross. gets grossed out by the hypothetical.
Vampire 69 just chomping dicks.
Can a man's sexual drive in the moment outweigh a vampire's insatiable bloodlust? Or can they resist the urge to feed in order to satisfy their partner? Basically, what I'm asking, if a gay vampire resists chomping down on a boner full of blood, that's got to be like trying to lick the icing off a jelly donut without having a bite. Good one, Sam. That's funny.
This question stands alone. I think the answer's within the question.
So what is the question, Ian? I was so caught up in the oddity of it.
I admit, like, if gay vampires will not eat dicks of other vampires, but if you're a vampire, you don't have any blood anyway, so if you're getting a bone, they can't get boners. Didn't we shoot down that idea?
Yeah.
Did we say they can or they can't?
I think they cannot, right? They don't have blood.
They don't have blood.
Maybe once, like, if we're vampires, once I suck your blood, now I can get a boner.
Whoa, buddy. Hey.
Why don't you use your blood to give me a boner?
But then why would I want to eat your dick? Because that'd be my own blood. That wouldn't be doing anything for me.
Yeah,
so basically you're saying, like, okay, if it's a gay vampire, then just go find a plain gay dude that's not a vampire and have gay sex, and then... Also, are you a if it's a vampire bottom, then you don't have to worry about it.
I think you got to focus on butt stuff. Don't you think?
If you're a vampire top, then that's your issue. Then where's the question in this?
Can a man's sexual drive in the moment outweigh a vampire's insatiable bloodlust?
Or can vampires aren't going to attack other vampires?
Yeah. I don't know.
That's not, can a gay vampire resist chomp down a boner? If it's a boner, that means it's not a vampire, because we've already deemed that vampires can't get boners.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because they're always horny.
Yeah.
They're always overly sexual, except if they got no blood. But then if it's a regular not vampire that's got a boner and you're a vampire, no, you probably bite that dick. Oh, fuck, man. I don't know. You got me, Sam. This is a real conundrum. This is a real Mobius strip of logic going on.
I tried to lick the icing off a jelly donut without having a
blood. Let me see if do vampires have blood? Oh, God. Of course, Qora with misspellings. Their body cannot generate any blood component. That's why they feed on blood to keep working of their own body. Nobody can work without blood. What teenager answered this? Quora. Here, vampires.com. Of course. Why didn't I go to vampires.com first? Why didn't you ask vampires.com, Sam? Blood, they need blood to survive. I don't know. Man, it's a, you know what? You stumped me.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think they're going to eat dicks.
Okay, well, we'll figure that one out. Thank you, Sam. Hunter Scott asked.
Thanks, Sam.
Do you guys get the joy of fireworks? Still not necessarily the fireworks themselves, but I've always been into smaller towns. So for my area, the entire city all goes to the local city park, and there are fair, foods, and vendors, and games, and it's a big community event. I fucking love fireworks. I feel bad for pets and animals.
Yeah.
You know, that's the one. And 4th of July is...
And veterans.
Yeah. It's the one holiday that is just literally forced upon you. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, you're gonna
you
have
can't
to.
Escape the fireworks, you know, unless you just soundproof your house and stay indoors.
But yeah.
Like, that's the one holiday that's just that just hits you over the head. And I like it, but I totally get how it's a nuisance to animals and, you know, stuff like that. But, man, I love a small town. Fireworks, let's all gather in the community park and have some hot dogs and look up at the sky. I know that's real, it's maybe an antiquated thing at this point, but I like a little Norman Rockwell, you know?
No, I definitely like the ultimate summer, everybody gathering like mm-hmm. like a parade or something. Like, oh, the whole town's out. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, oh, the whole town's got a day off.
Yeah.
Doing anything. I miss barbecues with the cookouts. Yeah. My apologies.
Sorry.
Cookouts with the family.
Yeah.
Last year, 4th of July, we were up in Oregon and we went to small town Oregon, went to the fairgrounds uh-huh. where everybody's on the bleachers for the baseball or like their little band shell, yeah. big fireworks and everything. But yeah. I get it. I'm with you, Hunter.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
I like fireworks.
Yeah.
Also, 4th of July is one of those.
I don't get like the light, like the black cats like lighting a brick in the driveway.
Yeah.
Like, that's dumb. That was like Roman candles were fun because you could shoot them at each other.
I loved it when I was little. From the time I was about 5 to about 11, I lived in a neighborhood with tons of houses, tons of kids, tons of neighbors. And we lived in a cul-de-sac, a big oversized cul-de-sac. And that was ground zero for the fireworks display every year. So, and that was also the only time I was allowed to stay outdoors after dark was on 4th of July.
Oh, it's like the Sandlot.
Man, yeah, that was so much fun. It'd be like 9 o'clock and all the kids are just running around screaming.
That's how I felt about Halloween.
The dads are, yeah, I was allowed to, yeah, that was the other day of the year.
Yeah.
But all the dads would handle the fireworks and the kids are just running around.
It was like mid-level Purge. Like, don't murder anybody, but all right, go for it.
Yeah, it was chaos.
Yeah.
It was fun. We'd catch lightning bugs. I don't know if that, did you have those in Illinois?
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. We'd hit them with tennis rackets.
Oh, really? We'd catch them in mayonnaise jars and stuff.
We'd do that. And then you realize if you hit them with tennis rackets, that's your own little fireworks display. I'm not saying it was right. I'm just saying that's what we did.
Yeah.
I didn't realize like people didn't have those in places
mm-hmm.
when Rachel was back with us for the summer. She's like, oh, my God. I'm like, lightning bugs. Like, yeah. I've never seen
it. Yeah, their asses
like,
light up.
Oh, yeah. It's a pretty cool thing then if you've never seen that before.
And in Georgia, fireworks, I don't know if they still are, but when I was a kid, they were illegal. You had to go to Tennessee or Alabama to get them.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're going up 75 past Chattanooga, there's a big fireworks store, like the size of a Home Depot.
I think I've seen that one.
And I always wonder, I think that one was in the movie Dutch with Ed O'Neill, by the way. I think that's where they stopped.
Oh, a Dutch reference.
Yeah. But I always wonder, what are these fucking fireworks stores doing in the other 11 months a year?
I know you drive by them. They just got one employee.
I don't understand that. It's like these. It's like when you see a Halloween shop in February, you know?
You'd think they'd be one of the same. We'd have to go to Wisconsin or Indiana. There's a joke that, going back to the other one, a joke that fails, that you need to look for diversity.
Uh-huh.
You know, sometimes you don't realize when something's diverse. It's because there was the billboards for, you can see the billboards like right over the border. In Wisconsin or right over the border in Indiana, come get fireworks. And everybody would get busted. They go to the first place past the border to get fireworks and drive back. And the state troopers just sit there and watch them.
Yeah.
Leave the parking lot and pull them. You got to go in. But all the billboards for the Indiana side at a place called Crazy Kaplan's. Kaplan.
Uh-huh.
Like Kaplan. And it was just always like a nervous dude on the build. Nervous cartoon guy. Like, I got all these explosives. But I was realizing, like, Kaplan's like, that's a Jewish name.
Yeah.
But like, let's like, hey, let's look at the diversity of like, oh, we're going to, you know, Indiana's home of the Klan in America, but also we're still going to go to this nervous Jewish guy for our fireworks. So maybe that's the bridge in a small gap right there. That is a specifically regional joke that doesn't even work in Chicago because I don't think people associate Kaplan with being a very Jewish name. I just know Gabe Kaplan and my accountant, not saying that just because he's
Mike Kaplan.
Accountant, yeah. All Jews.
Spells his name M-Y-Q.
He's doing a thing.
He likes words.
Yeah.
Lee Singleton asks, "Hey Lee, I met Lee in Pensacola. Good dude. Would you rather live in a world where it has been proven that no cryptids, aliens, or supernatural entities exist, or in one where they all exist, and as a result, humanity is no longer at the top of the food chain?" That's a great question. I'll take the second one. I was going to say latter or former, but I always get those confused. I think latter's the second one, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. I always want to use that in conversation, but at the last second, I feel like I'm going to fuck it up.
No, you're right.
Yeah. I would much rather live. I think it'd be cool as shit if we weren't at the top of the food chain.
But you think it's cool as shit now, like if it changed now. But if you were just born and basically like a baby deer in the wilderness, like everything's going to try and kill you your whole life.
Yeah.
There's no dreams anymore. There's like, maybe I'll be an artist. No, you fucking survive. That's all. That's your whole life.
Yeah.
You want that?
It'd be a refreshing change of pace.
Fucking refreshing? Called just sheer terror
from
the minute you're awake to the minute you fall asleep.
Yeah.
Refreshing?
Yeah.
Because you can have that now.
Yeah, that's true. Go to prison.
Yeah. Be the fucking oldest Marine. The oldest new Marine.
Oh, man.
Just want to help you boys out over there.
Yeah. No, I think that would be... imagine... I mean, yeah, we're really spiraling off here, but imagine how that would change humanity. I think it would humble us up a little bit.
Well, what is it? Yeah, but also, okay, we're no longer top of the food chain.
But
Does it mean that we're being hunted all the time, or that there's just something that's smarter than us out there?
No, he says cryptids and aliens and supernatural entities.
Yeah.
So not just I live in the wilderness with lions trying to kill me, but there's crazy cryptids and aliens.
That's what I mean. Who cares what it is? It's just trying to kill you.
Well, who's to say cryptids and aliens and supernatural entities are necessarily trying to kill us? He just means that they have that. They probably could. And they have that ability, and therefore we would no longer be at the top of the food chain.
Well, then how's that work now with bears and stuff? Sharks?
I mean, we're existing. Yeah.
I guess I'm confused. Like, top of the food chain means just because we have the ability to build structures and guns and defense that we're the top. That these other things would have systems better than ours.
Yeah,
if they ever wanted to take over human beings, they would or could.
Yeah, whereas a grizzly or a shark could not. A grizzly could kill me in a one-on-one fight, but
they're not like getting together.
Yeah,
like let's all,
yeah,
raid this village.
Yeah,
although there was the stories about those lions that were stalking people.
Really?
In Africa.
Hmm.
They made a movie about it. I know it's such a vague statement to make. They made a movie about it, but like a lion that was stalking people from this village. It's pretty insane.
Robert Smith asked, burps or farts? I think a burp's more of an accomplishment.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Any asshole could fart.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I'll allow it. I'll allow that one, even with the laugh. If you would have said it drier, I'd have been like, well, I see what you did.
Here's another question. Would you rather...
Furps or barts?
If you walk into a small room, would you rather walk into a burp or a fart?
Fucking burp, dude.
Burps can be fucking gnarly, man.
Farts?
It's all the same.
No, farts have shit particles.
Okay, that's a good point.
The only reason they're even mildly allowed is that there's pants over your butt. If there's not, this is a naked ass. You ever look at fart porn?
No, stop that.
Really?
Fuck you for even putting that in my brain now.
And you still want to go with burps can be nasty? Look up fart porn.
No. Ugh. What the fuck is wrong with people? I've mentioned this
before,
people
got their own things, man.
I don't want to go down this chain, but I am so glad that I am, for the most part, sexually normal. And I know even that might offend people. What's normal? I don't need fart porn to get off.
It's not about need.
I don't need...
It's about being the top of the food chain.
To watch people shit on a glass coffee table.
That's being part of the top of the food chain.
Fucking this whole sex-positive shit.
You want people shitting on coffee tables?
Everybody, it's great to be sex positive when you're young and attractive, but what happens when the fucking creeps?
Fucking nobody. There's,
I'm sex positive, everybody.
Not a lot of hot people making the fart porn.
Put a shit all over this pumpkin.
That's shit in a pumpkin. It's a. I mean, that's called a crap-o-lantern. Jack-off-o-lantern. Where should I go with this? Those are the two best ones I had. Let's go to Burley Gates. I like that as a handle. More serious one here. Burley Gates says, my grandpa Wayne passed away in his sleep a few months ago. Before he died, he told me that when he would try to go to sleep at night, he would feel a presence in his bedroom. He'd look around in the dark and notice his bed was being surrounded by tall figures in red robes that would stand and watch him. My question is, do you think the time leading up to our deaths, the veil between worlds or dimension, is thinner, allowing for beings to cross over, perhaps grim reapers, angels, demons, or what have you? That, you know, I always think like there's a confusion that, you know, you won't understand until you're there. Like people have near-death experiences. Mm-hmm. My mom had one. And is that like when people do DMT, that's like a simulated near-death experience, how people always kind of have similar experiences. It's either the light or one that's as recurring as laying flat on a river, peacefully going down. That's the one my mom had.
Mm-hmm.
So is it your brain releasing a chemical to ease with what's happening? Or is it, you know, like what Burley Gates is saying, is like you're slowly getting a peak. It's like when you're about to get fired. Nobody's really giving a shit if you do your job anymore. That's what your systems are doing. Like, yeah, actually, this is what.
I was having a similar conversation as this one with Katie the other day. We're talking about, you know, since her mom recently passed, that's obviously been a big thing, a topic of conversation. But the concept of, do you think people know that they're about to die? Like in an illness situation, for example, like what her mom had, and maybe even with my dad having a heart attack. But like, do you think 30 seconds, 5 minutes, 5 hours before you die, you kind of have some sort of inclination? And if so, does that also ring true with, say, accidents? Like, it's one thing to be at the tail end of a battle with cancer, and yeah, that last day you just kind of come to terms, or your instinct tells you, yeah, this might be my last day. But yeah, people, let's say hypothetically, who die in car wrecks, I wonder if 5 minutes before the wreck they have these weird feelings like, oh shit, I feel like I don't have much time left.
Well, I mean, there's always these stories that, like, the, oh, something told me not to get on that plane, mm-hmm, and it crashed. But mm-hmm, the way I think, it's probably something that everybody has a feeling about before they go on a plane ride. Oh, what if this plane crashes? Uh-huh. Well, that's a silly thought.
Yeah.
You know, what if I get in a car wreck today? You could think that every day of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And one day you're going to get in a car wreck and you'll be like, I predicted it.
Yeah.
No. But that's where I hold my belief that if there is like energy, that's residual energy, it's from people getting, you know, like being extinguished quickly,
mm-hmm,
for lack of a better way to say it. You know, like a car wreck, like boom, oh, that was it.
Yeah.
You died instantly. There was no prep.
Yeah.
You know, there was no, like, that's how it's depicted in movies and everything. People walking around like, oh, man, what's going on? Somebody would be like, you're dead. You know, it's some Sixth Sense shit.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, if your body's slowly, like, you know, beginning its shutdown procedures.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I mean, maybe there's a built-in comforting mechanism.
Because the reason Katie and I started talking about this the other day is my dad, he went to the doctor on Wednesday. It was a scheduled thing, like a month out. It's not like he was feeling awful on Tuesday and they made an appointment.
Yeah.
He'd had this thing scheduled on a Wednesday and then died 4 days later. But before he went to the doctor, I didn't know this at the time, he dug up all his personal papers and wills and stuff. and really? Like that he hadn't fucked with in years, and put them where my mom could find them.
Really?
Like the day he was going to the doctor. So like, I wonder if he knew, you know, I don't know if he had been having heart trouble and just keeping it a secret.
Was it, yeah, was your dad kind of more stoic, man?
Oh, yeah.
And so maybe it was like, I don't want to frighten anybody.
Yeah.
But
maybe he knew, like, this is not normal. This is serious. Maybe I should go ahead and dig these papers out.
Maybe that. Yeah, like, mm-hmm. I got an inkling.
Yeah. Because Katie's mom did something similar. Yeah. But hers was more of a long, drawn-out thing that she was battling multiple illnesses for like a year, but she, like a day or two before she passed, she had dug out some stuff. But anyway, I just thought that was weird that my dad had did that just before he even went to a doctor. Like he did that like on Tuesday or Wednesday before he went to the doctor's appointment. He dug out all that stuff.
Well, I mean, from what you've told me, he seems like a guy that, you know, was always looking out for the people around him and everything.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
That was another, a step.
Yeah.
You know, kind of that, like, all right. Mm-hmm. This shouldn't be hard on anybody else, harder than it needs to be.
Yeah. But yeah, to answer Burley Yates' question, is the veil between worlds or dimensions thinner when you get closer to the end? That's an interesting concept. Like, you know, when you
it's
get...
like flatliners.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know if that or if it's... You know, like, or hallucinations. You know, my mom was with my aunt when she passed and said, like, right at the moment she passed, like, looked around the room and then, like she was seeing something.
Oh, wow.
But is that, are you seeing something? Is something coming again? Or is that just your brain going, here's a exit strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Here's, you know, final exit strategy to make it, you know, to ease with everything.
Two different people have asked, this is weird, and I have not even thought about this in months. Two different people. Dave, did you ever get your cat earrings from China? No, I didn't, and I haven't thought about that in months.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Somebody else asked that.
I saw that.
That's weird that two different people would ask that. No, still haven't got those fucking cat earrings. Thanks for reminding me. I got to look into that.
Yeah, you're not getting those.
Fucking scam. Try to do something good.
Daniel Rodriguez, with the current state of the world, do you think it's possible that we're living in an alternate timeline that branched off due to a time traveler interfering with the past? Well, that's the conundrum of time travel. Then there isn't an alt. This is the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
How could there be an alternate one?
Yeah.
Because this is the timeline that would lead to the time traveler.
Mm-hmm.
Unless all timelines eventually lead to a time traveler. Like saying, like, all timelines, no matter what happens in human history, would lead to the invention of electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe all timelines lead to the invention of time travel. Just some quicker than others. Maybe that's the idea of time travel I haven't explored. That no matter what happens, time travel is going to be invented. All the parts will be put into place with enough... dare I say, quote unquote, human intelligence is going to lead to it. Like somebody who's going to invent electricity.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine human beings living this long. Imagine being 2020.
Yeah.
But electricity never being invented.
Yeah.
That's wouldn't have happened. Like the intelligent beings that are developing and becoming more and more intelligent, more access to information. Maybe time travel will be invented inevitably, no matter what happens. This is, ooh, all right. Now I'm curious about that.
Yeah, that's all right. That's a good one. That's something to think about.
I would say that okay, maybe that's it. Maybe that's why time travel can exist, because they're always going to come up with time travel.
Mm-hmm.
They'll never fuck up and not invent time travel, unless you destroy the world.
Mm-hmm.
Which, okay, all right, anyway. Oh... boy, these Bigfoot questions. People want it.
Let's do one more. We got to wrap this up. We got big Hollywood stuff to go take
Hollywood
care of.
We got Hollywood stuff. Scott Burchett says, Dave, you recently acquired a firearm. I'm in Georgia and I own several. I did not vote for Trump. And the gun laws here are very, very, very lax. Have you or Kyle run into any hurdles owning a gun in California?
I have not.
Have you done anything to register it?
Nope.
So, of course, you haven't run any hurdles. And I don't know. I just have BB guns, so I can just buy those at a Big Five.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, you just have a legal possession of a firearm.
Well, it's...
well,
it's ambiguous.
So maybe in Georgia, if you shoot your baby and say it was invading your womb, then you can legally have an abortion.
But no, I haven't tried. I haven't taken care of all that. Just because got to make sure some old stuff's been expunged first.
Okay. Oh, boy. Pick a couple quick ones.
4th of July coming up. What's the best thing at a cookout? Ask Elizabeth Hayes.
Cheddar brats.
Cheddar brats are great. Here's a little bit of a curveball people forget
about.
Still
not eating meat, but I'll throw in cheddar brats.
Smoked chicken wings. Smoke you some goddamn chicken wings.
I always love them smoked chicken wings.
One of the best things in the world is a smoked chicken wing. Get your little $50 Brinkman trash can smoker and fix you up a little rub. Rub them suckers, rub the wings down. Smoke them with some hickory wood for about 3 or 4 hours. And if you got a deep fryer, drop them in some oil about 20, 30 seconds before you serve them. Crisp them up a little bit. Oh, by the way.
My white trash itch gets scratched with some macaroni salad.
Yeah. Oh, I love macaroni salad.
Macaroni salad? Give me two types of potato salad.
Yeah.
Give me the creamy American kind. Give me some German potato salad.
Yeah.
You ever have that?
Oh, yeah.
Red potatoes.
Red potatoes.
Vinegar.
Yes. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of macaroni salad, you know who's got the best macaroni salad I've had in a long time?
Who does that?
That Hawaiian barbecue place at Sunset and Western.
Hawaiian barbecue always got.
You know, was it Ono or it's right there, a little strip.
I know what you're talking
There's
about.
There's a Lucky Panda, not a Lucky Panda, Panda Go. What is it?
Panda Express.
Panda Express. Panda Express, a couple other little, and then right there.
Mm. Man, Hawaiian food, the katsu pork or chicken, and then the mackerel. Yeah, I got you.
Mm.
I got you on that.
Here's a good one. Andy Emmerich.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to take up a profession outside the entertainment industry, even if it required some schooling, what would it be? That's a great question. You know what I was starting to dabble getting into way back in the day when I was managing when I was tour managing bands?
Interpretive dance.
I wanted to learn how to produce records. I wanted to learn all the technical knob twist and shit.
Oh, yeah? Being a sound engineer?
Yeah. I always thought that'd be a cool gig. Work with bands. You know?
Never once had any interest in taking the Zoom 6 from me over here.
Yeah. No, it's passed. But.
All right. I always wanted to produce records. Why am I the one handling this fucking recorder every time we do this show?
That's something I always kind of wanted to do. Another thing I always wanted to do, but then I realized I didn't know anything about it as far as a profession or like if you could make money at it. But like I always thought being an archaeologist would be cool. Like
watch
in Africa.
Indiana Jones,
yeah,
man.
I'm in Africa for a month. I'll be back, but I'm over there.
I'm giving you homework.
Digging around
Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I will.
And Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I will do that. That might be the next bonus. Maybe I'll do a.
It's got
review.
Ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
It's got archaeology.
Yeah.
It's got Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Mine's still park ranger, and that still might be a. Hey, what happened to Kyle Kinane?
I was thinking about that too.
Yeah, just giving tours.
That'd be a sweet gig. Park ranger. I think that'd be pretty fun.
Every time I'm at a national park, I'm bothering those guys like what it takes and how they got into it. And a lot of them are scientists or you know, police or fire background, law enforcement, because you're still patrolling the park. But the guy's like, he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm actually a comedian. He's like, that would put you in the running because you can talk to people and be a communication figurehead for the public coming into the park, and that's a valuable thing too, is they want to make sure people stay interested.
Yeah,
because people's interest in those parks is what leads to donations and which leads to them staying open and staying funded. So,
yeah.
Was it who came up with the national parks? Roosevelt?
Yeah. Teddy.
America's Dude, greatest idea.
I just started watching that Roosevelt documentary last night. It's on Netflix, I think. It's on Netflix or Amazon, but it's a PBS documentary, like multiple
about
parts.
The national parks.
No, just about the Roosevelts in general. Did you know? Get this. Everybody knows Theodore Roosevelt and Franklin Roosevelt. are related. They're fifth cousins. But did you know they weren't necessarily fifth cousins? Theodore, how can I explain this? What's her name? What's Franklin's wife? Eleanor?
Yeah.
First of all, his middle name's Delanor, right?
Delano.
Oh, well, maybe that's, I was wrong the whole time.
So it's Delanor married to Eleanor?
Yeah, I always thought that. But this is true. Eleanor was a Roosevelt before she even met Franklin. She was a Roosevelt.
Really?
Yes. So she is the one who's more closely related to Theodore than Franklin. Franklin, if I understood correctly, they're related by marriage. But Theodore was related to Eleanor.
So not cousins, just last names? All same last names?
I don't, I mean, maybe it's
kind of a common name?
No. They were in the family. Like, they were related prior to getting married. So I don't know.
Fifth cousin, you can do that.
What I'm saying is they said Theodore and Franklin were fifth cousins. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what, but they were related somehow through Eleanor. I don't know how many generations separated Eleanor and Franklin. But anyway, I just thought that was weird.
National parks, born of incest, still one of America's greatest treasures. All right. We got to go do showbiz stuff.
Yeah, we got to wrap this up. We got cool stuff to go do. Maybe one day we can let you know what we're doing. So.
Okay.
Probably not. thanks, guys. Patrons, appreciate you. Holler at your boys.
The Boogie Monster. We'll be right back.